All right, well, if you got your Bibles, you can open with me to Psalm 18, Old Testament, Psalm 18, one of my favorite psalms. As you're opening there, I have a confession to make. There was a time in my life where I watched professional wrestling. 26 years ago, as a matter of fact. And I mainly watched WCW, but there was another circuit called WWF, and there was a wrestler in that circuit that was known as The Rock. You may know him as the actor Dwayne Johnson, if that tells you anything about what professional wrestling is, right? No judgment if you watch professional wrestling today, by the way. No judgment at all, all right? Now, Dwayne Johnson, he wasn't an actual rock, but like him, there are a lot of things that can pose as rocks in our lives and around us. Dwayne Johnson, for one. If you have in your yard an electrical box, some people get these shrouds that go over top of the electrical box that look like a big boulder in your yard to kind of take out that unsightly electrical box in your yard. You just put it over top of it, and it makes it look like you just have a big boulder in your yard. But it's not really a boulder. It's hollow. It's plastic or rubber, whatever it's made of. We were at this lake cabin, and they had an old wood burner back by what looked to be a brick wall. And I stared at that brick wall, and I was like, you know, there's even like imperfections in that brick wall. So it looks like it's real, but you go up and touch it, and it's, no, it was like composite material or something like that. It was not brick. It was not like a rock. In our garden, sometimes you find clumps of dirt that are so hard and dry that they seem like rocks, but really they're not. You can break them apart. Other things that pose as rocks, maybe a family member, a dad. If you were around in the early 90s, there were some TV commercials. If you remember the Prudential, yes, they talked about, yes, the Prudential. I just remember the big rock that stuck out on their picture, and it said something like this, and a guy with a really low, like Barry White voice, the Prudential, rock solid, rock solid. Or like you said, the Chevy commercials where they had this theme song of Like a Rock. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yes, that was actually a song by Bob Seger, by the way. You know, and it was about when he was younger and he was like this. He's like, I'm strong as I can be like a rock. Nothing ever got to me. That's what he said in the song. And so lots of things that can pose as rocks. But we know a physical rock to be some type of a stone that has certain qualities. Some qualities of a rock or a stone is that it's hard. It's not, you can't press on it. It's not a squishy toy, right? It's strong. Things can come against it and it won't break. It's enduring. It lasts a long time. Unless you take it and throw it against another rock, then it may break apart, you know? It's what David used to sling at Goliath. It wasn't a clump of clay that he slung at Goliath, right? It wasn't a squishy toy. It was a rock that took Goliath down. So my sons like to do when they see a body of water, they find some rocks and they start skipping rocks across the water. So that's a physical rock, but we also use the term rock as a title to describe something with rock-like qualities. A lady that used to live across the street from us told me that her father-in-law or her grandfather-in-law, I don't remember which one, but it was an in-law for sure, was her rock in her life. And I thought that was interesting. Because first of all, like, we are made of ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We're made of the dust of the earth. We're not rocks, right? And yet it wasn't even her father or her grandfather. It was an in-law that was her rock in her life. So I thought that was interesting. But it got me thinking about what God wanted me to share today. This is what I want to ask you. Who is the rock in your life? Who or what is the rock in your life? And I figure as we celebrate Father's Day today, that we can consider that question as we read in Psalm 18. So Psalm 18, verse 1 says this, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, God, that we can explore what you want us to know about our Heavenly Father today. And so, God, I pray for these next few moments, as the children have their time upstairs and as we have our time in here, Lord, I just pray, God, that you, Holy Spirit, would minister to our hearts, that our hearts would be open for what it is that you want to share with us today. And there'd be something that each one of us would carry out through with us today. But Lord, Holy Spirit, would you just come and bring your anointing right now? And would you speak, I pray? Use these words to get across what you want to get across today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Title of the message today is, Who is Your Rock? Who is your rock? Now, the word rock here in Psalm 18, it's two times that they use the word rock in verse 2, but they're two different Hebrew words. The first one is the word salah, salah, and the second one is the word tsur, tsur. And they both mean stone or rock, but salah, when it says, the psalmist says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer, that one is God as a rock focusing on stability, faithfulness, and protection. Those are qualities of our God. They're describing God. And tsur, my God is my tsur in whom I take refuge, my rock. That is a title of God with a focus, again, on stability, but also as a place of security and safety. And so to ask the question, who is your rock, is to ask who is it or what is it that brings stability, protection, security, and safety into your life? And I believe, thinking of a young child, this is who God designed earthly fathers to be. To represent, rather, not to be, but to represent or to reflect. The leader of the family, a picture of stability, one who protects their family, one who provides a place for them to live, a secure environment for them to live in, one who is faithful to his wife and faithful to his family. Now, do I always look like that? Do you always look like that? Probably not. Thank you, Lord, for his grace. Thank you, Lord, for his grace that helps us in all of our weaknesses. And all the guys said amen. Amen. Yes. But it's also difficult in our day to see what God designed because many don't or didn't have a dad in their life growing up. Or maybe they didn't have a dad that lived at home with the family. Or a dad that maybe lived at home but wasn't really there, either because of work or other things that distracted him from being a dad. And yet God designed dads to be in that role of father in the family to reflect our Heavenly Father. And so when a dad isn't being the dad or fulfilling the role that he is called to, it makes it much harder for a young child to know what their Heavenly Father is like. Right? Yeah. Now, for all you single moms out there, I just want to give you props today because you're having to do the part of two, right? You're having to do both sides. Now, praise the Lord, God gives you capacity to do that. But it's not the way he designed it to be. Also, the roles of single dads, sometimes dads, even in our fellowship, are having to do the role of two because the mom isn't in the picture or isn't always in the picture. And so when the issue is that when the dad isn't there for one reason or another, and when there isn't another father figure to take his place to reflect what our Heavenly Father is like, then I ask the question, who or what is it that becomes the example of what a rock is supposed to be like in our lives? What ends up taking that place to provide stability and security? And what happens is people run out looking for something or someone to take the place of who's missing in their lives. There's a father wound that's been inflicted. And that's not the only way, by the way, that a father wound can be inflicted. There can be a father that's there in the house that is inflicting pain and anguish and even abuse. That would be also a father wound as well. But I'm so thankful that we have men serving in children's church and in student ministries for those who don't have a father figure in their life. They don't even know their father, some of them. So thankful that we have men that are stepping up and be that role of spiritual father. And I don't say this today to call anything out on anybody, that anything that anybody has done or had to deal with in the past. I myself am not always a good reflection of our Heavenly Father, but only to call attention to the way that God designed things to be. God designed things to be. Like Pastor Gary talked about last week, with what our world looks like, we're not here to change the culture of the world. We're here to live out what the Bible says of how God designed the world to be. We know that the world does not look like how God initially designed it. But we can have hope knowing that in the brokenness in this world, that God is working. He is working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. And in our day especially, he is calling his church to come back to his design and his teachings. Amen? You can agree with that. Okay. Good. So we know it's important that we live out God's design, and that it's more important that we know God's design so that we can look at the world around us in the right way and live out God's design for our lives, albeit imperfectly. And this is only possible as we allow the Holy Spirit access into every part of our lives, like we talked about a few weeks ago. Yes, even in parenting and grandparenting. A dad is meant to reflect our Heavenly Father. But it's not always our biological dad who fills this role. It could be a grandpa, a stepdad, a father-in-law, a spiritual father like we have serving here, a kids leader, a youth leader, perhaps a mentor, someone who's been where you're at and is a few steps ahead because God's brought freedom in their life and they've been able to share their testimony with someone else, because as we know, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So that's what a mentor can be in our lives. There's not a lot of young men out there today. Yeah, amen. But I believe young men, old men, there is a plan that God has for your life, a role that God has for you to fulfill, to reflect him, our Heavenly Father, here on this earth. And as a husband is supposed to reflect Christ in the marriage relationship, so a dad or a spiritual dad is supposed to reflect our Heavenly Father. And ladies, God has also given you a role as well. He's given you a role as well to teach the younger generation what you've learned about God, who God is and what he has done. We don't want to have a generation rise up like what happened after Joshua in the Old Testament, where a generation rose up who neither knew the Lord or the things he had done. No, women, ladies, it's also your role to raise up the younger generation to know the Lord and the things that he has done. This is important. Psalm 71 and verse 18 says, "Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation." This is what we are called to do as moms and dads. Spiritual moms, spiritual dads, grandparents, spiritual grandparents, to tell the next generation who our God is. Amen? And sometimes, moms, grandmas, your husband can use a little encouragement in doing this role, can't he? Don't hold back from encouraging him. But do it in a supportive way and not in a critical way. And all the guys again said amen. Yeah. Listen, one way or another, a dad or a father figure is someone that every single person looks for in life, whether they acknowledge it or not. And even when they purposely refuse to look for one because of past hurt, they're still looking for that in their life. Why? Because we're all designed to know our Heavenly Father. And like we read in Psalm 18 earlier, he is who we all need to be the rock in our lives. What are some attributes of what a rock should be in our lives? I'm glad you asked. All right. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. The rock eternal. That's that Hebrew word again, suer, a title of God. Stability, security, safety. Because he is our eternal rock, we can allow ourselves to trust him always, even when our earthly father isn't who he's supposed to be, even when our earthly father isn't reflecting our heavenly father. We can allow ourselves to trust him always. Does the rock in your life ever or could ever betray your trust? Then they shouldn't be the rock of your life. Isaiah 28 and verse 16. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. And the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I like that. The one who relies on this stone will never be stricken with panic. That word stone in the Hebrew there is the word eben. It's where we get the word Ebenezer from. And Ebenezer, as I just studied this, I didn't know this before, Ebenezer means stone of help. Stone of help. A title of God. He is our stone of help. He is that precious cornerstone, that trusted, tested, went through everything that we go through without the sin. Tested in the wilderness by Satan himself. He is our precious, trusted, tested cornerstone that we can build our lives on. He's our stone of help. When we get panicked or worried about a particular situation, it's a sign that we're not relying on our rock, but on something else. 2 weeks ago, I drove down to the Minnesota District Council office. I've only ever been there once, and it's really close to North Central. But I drove down there, and on my way there, I'm dealing with traffic and all that kind of stuff, as you know, driving into the cities. And I'm remembering the one time that I had been there, it was a small parking lot. It's a small parking lot. And I'm thinking about, I'm going there for a meeting. How many other people are going to be there? Is there going to be a spot for me still in the parking lot when I get there? And if there's not, where am I going to park at? I don't know the cities. I don't know how the cities work. I don't even know, do I have to have change for a meter anymore? I don't even know. Ignorant, okay? But it caused concern in my heart as I'm going down there. I wasn't trusting that God is my rock. He's going to take care of this. I don't need to worry about it. God will make a way. This is where I'm supposed to go. He'll make a way for me to find a place to park. When we get panicked or worried about a particular situation, it's a sign that we're not relying on him in that situation as our rock. Psalm 18 and verse 31. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It's that same Hebrew word, suer. Stability, security, safety. Here's the point. There is no rock except him. There is no rock. Though, dads, we reflect our Heavenly Father, we can't be a rock. And so our role is not about being a rock or posing as one, but rather to point children, grandchildren, spiritual children to who the real rock is. We won't always be around, will we, Keith? We're not always going to be around. What will happen when our numbered days come to an end if we are not the ones who are pointing our children and our grandchildren, again, spiritual children, to the rock that is Christ? Instead of being the rock, we are to lead others to the rock that is higher than I. That's what Psalm 61 and verse 2 says. There is a rock that is higher than you and I. And here's the point. Children, grandchildren need to see dads as ones who rely on the rock. And guess what? This takes the pressure off of us to try and be everything that we think others need us to be. or what we think others think we are supposed to be. Dads, we don't have to be the rock, but in what we do, in how we live, and who God designed us to be, we are to point people to the rock, for that is who he is. That's who he is. Can you imagine trying to carry a boulder on your back? This big rock? I think of the pictures of Atlas, the figure Atlas. He has a picture of the world on his back, and he's like this. Strong, rippling biceps and all that kind of stuff, and he's just holding the world on his back. Yeah, that's not us. That's not any one of us, is it? No. When we try to carry this big rock, not only are we not able to carry it, but we end up tripping over it because we're not supposed to carry it. The prophet Isaiah said of God that he is a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Now, he is this when we don't see God as who he is. When we don't stay in our lane. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Paul is talking about Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. And he says that they all, in verse 4, drank from the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And guess who that rock was? That rock, Paul says, was Christ. You don't have to be the rock for somebody else. But the rock accompanies you in life as believers. Every moment of your life, he is there. Here's the main point today. Don't pose, but point others to the rock. Don't pose, but point others to the rock. Let him be the rock. For that's who he is. Stay in your lane, bro. Let him be the spiritual rock that you drink from and that you pour out for others from your life rather than stumbling over him. May he be the one you trust and the one you point others to trust in as well. Amen? As we close today, who's your rock? Christ is your rock, yeah. Does your life point to the spiritual rock that accompanies you in your life? Will you stand with me? If we are to point people to the rock, he has to first be our rock. For we can't point people to the rock if he isn't first our rock. If we don't let him be who he is first for us. He must be our rock before we can point anyone else to him. Who's your rock today? Father, I just thank you so much that we get to consider who the real rock is. A lot of things that try to pose as rocks. A lot of things that try to take the place of a rock. Sometimes we put people in that place of rock in our lives. And if we were to ever consider that person not being in our lives, we would fall apart. But God, I thank you that you are the rock eternal. You are the enduring rock. You are the living rock. And it is on you that our lives need to be found. It is on you that our lives need to be built.